My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. And what we'll be doing today is talking to one of United Church of God's pastors in the Northeast. His name is Andy Deemer. The congregations that he pastors in New England are Worcester, Massachusetts, Southern New Hampshire, Saratoga Springs, New York, and Bangor, Maine. My wife and I had the wonderful privilege of visiting after they had been there for about a year or so. Church in person has been canceled, as it has been all through the country, but a new culture has emerged as people have not become insular, but actually found new ways to communicate with one another. So anyway, welcome to Inside United, Andy.
Well, thank you, Vic. I'm very happy to be here. What a blessing it is to talk with you about what we're doing here in New England.
I'd like to hear about how you're managing with this area and what you have done and maybe any new things that you have invented and developed over these past 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, here in New England, just like everywhere else in the country and most of the world, we are all impacted. Whether we're in the church or not, everyone is going through this crisis, and we're all experiencing very similar things. We can't go out of our homes. Here in our house, I go out once a week to go to the grocery store, and it's just me. My wife stays at home, and this is not untypical for not just the church members, but everyone. And we here in New England have a few people who are actually, I would say, on the front lines of the COVID crisis. One is a cashier, and she works in a grocery store on Cape Cod. Mm-hmm. In face-to-face contact with the public, we have another woman who is a doctor who is dealing directly with, on some limited basis though, with some of the COVID-19 patients. So she's right there as well, a doctor in our area.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are people you know who are all helping to get us through this crisis, but keep us together while we're enduring this time of not being able to meet. And it's been very interesting for us.
Well, Andy, when you first heard that church is canceled, and at first it was just for two weekends that church was going to be canceled, what crossed your mind and what did you do right away?
I have to tell you, Vic, the guidance we've had from the home office regarding what we should do as pastors to keep our congregation together has been very good. The guidance has been good. That's come especially, I think, from Mark Welch, giving us some suggestions and some direction on what we should do if we have webcasting, for instance, or the technology to have services online. We should go ahead and do that. And it has been a very encouraging experience to see how a group of the young leaders in the church have come together and really done a very good job showing good leadership using the technology and bringing together a webcast service for our brethren here.
How many people do you have log in?
Well, we don't know how many are logging in, but we can count the number of connections.
Right.
Correct, yes. And so we can estimate that about 2 times the number are logging in, or 2 times the number of people are actually viewing the webcast. For instance, we have families with 4, 5, even 8 people. So we have 45 connections. We think that's somewhere around 90 to 100 persons. And that is actually about the average number on a weekly Sabbath that we'll have at all of our congregations combined. So we think most of those who are actually coming to our services are tuning in.
Well, I would say that people who maybe don't see too many people through the week would be more anxious to be connected with church services.
I agree. Yes. And it has been interesting to try new things. So we started using a software called vMix. I don't know if you've heard of vMix software.
No. Is it like Zoom? Or
no, it's not like Zoom. It's basically a video production type of a software where you can use multiple video and audio inputs and put together a very nice stream of video coming out. And we include the scriptures online. So as a man is giving receiving his message. The scriptures can appear online, so those viewing see the scriptures right there on the screen. And we've also incorporated some special music, some of our hymns as well, with the words showing on the screen. There's more that we're doing as well with the online technology beyond just the webcasting.
What time is your church service?
Well, we do it at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. And the reason we do it at 11 a.m. is to give the brethren an opportunity to tune in to the 2:30 p.m. home office services. We really want people to stay connected to the home office, so I'm encouraging people to watch that 2:30 p.m. service, but also, of course, log into ours. So we've done something a little different with our 11 a.m. service. We don't make it the typical hour and a half, hour and 45-minute service, but we shorten it to just under an hour. And actually, 45, 50 minutes, we have fewer hymns, shorter announcements, and shorter messages. And that way, we give everybody the opportunity to get a local connection, a local feel for the Sabbath service. But also then after a lunch break, after an afternoon break, tune in to the home office. So this is the way we're doing it. And Mark Welch and I went back and forth, Mark of Ministerial Member Services, that telling him that I'd like to do a shorter service. And he was very appreciative of that. And he thought what we were doing is a good blend of having both the local plus the home office. We want people to stay in touch with both.
Now, you know, Andy, I feel that people have become more cognizant of others. They've wanted to include others. They care about others. Right. Can you maybe tell me some things that you have seen as far as behavioral changes?
Yes. Well, what we've done here is just to encourage people to stay in touch with the local brethren, and especially those who are in their geographical area. So several times I've announced this, and along with that, I've updated our church directory so everybody has contact numbers, emails. They know all our directory shows all the family members, so they could use the directory as a way to just go down that list and see who they might want to call or keep in touch with. My wife and I have done a lot of that, and it's been very, very encouraging. You know, typically we see brethren at the Sabbath services and have a 2 to 5 minute conversation, maybe. But now the way we're doing it with just calling them up and having a conversation, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. one-on-one. It's really, really special. And we're doing that as we go through this time. And, you know, you can't call everybody in a day. It takes a week or two to get through the list. But this is what we're doing ourselves. And the brethren I know are doing it as well, calling one another and keeping in touch.
Well, here in the Cincinnati church, what Pastor Steve Byers has done is he's divided the church into 5 or 6 different groups. And then each group has about 6 people or so. And then every week, one group calls all the other 5 or connects with them in some way, either calls them or sends an email. We've had different ways. But I have actually become acquainted with some people that I hadn't really known through this.
Yeah, it has been very good in that way, to stay connected. Another thing we've been doing, I think it has been very good, is occasionally we will have a WebEx fellowship hour. We've done this twice. I call them fellowship hours, and I invite the brethren to tune in. And this is not the webcast where it's all one way, where the folks hearing it on a Sabbath service webcast are not communicating back to us during the webcast, but with the WebEx software, it's like an online meeting platform, and we're using that several times to have fellowship hour. And, you know, after this crisis began, it was interesting to hear the stories online and see the people online and telling us about their experience and what they've gone through. It's so good to see them. After 3 weeks, what was our of separation, we had our first fellowship hour of on the WebEx. And the second time we did it, I think, was very, very interesting. It was just after the Passover. So it was on the first day of unleavened bread. We did not have a morning service that day, but everyone tuned into the afternoon service on the first day of unleavened bread at home office. But in the morning, we did that fellowship hour again, and we all had stories to tell about the first time that we kept the Passover at home as a church. It was remarkable in the fact that we were all in our homes, just like the Israelites were when they kept their Passover in Exodus 12. And here we are celebrating our Passover, and our children are there seeing this. And it just harkens back to the lessons we see in Exodus when the children or the son ask his father or his parent, what is the meaning of this service that you do, this Passover service? So on this fellowship hour, families were there with their children, telling about their experience of keeping that Passover at home. I thought, what a wonderful way it was to not only connect, but tell one another about our new experiences of keeping Passover in a way we've never before done it. And our children right there in the home seeing some of these things, what lessons we're passing on in that way. So.
Now, one thing you mentioned here is that you've had some sort of Bible commentary by email throughout the church as kind of a spin-off from this?
Yes, I've been doing that for quite a few years now. I think since I came up to New England, just once a week in the middle of the week, typically on a Wednesday, I send out an email to the brethren as a way of keeping in touch with them. And I write a Bible lesson or Bible example or story or talking about perhaps current events. And that's part of the weekly contact we've always had with the brethren, but that is just a way to keep in touch during the week. And so we've done a number of things. I have to hand it to the gentlemen who are working with me on our webcast. Our sound guy, Jerry August, over in the Worcester congregation, he's been vital to helping us do this so we could all be in our homes and projecting this webcast on the Sabbath to the brethren. And a couple of our other men are ABC graduates. Both of them were former presidents of ABC, David Raines and Chris Salva, who are on our webcast and doing either the closing or opening closing prayer, doing the sermonette or the special music, or leading hymns. And we've also had our choir director from New England, Jacob Sutherland, and this coming Sabbath we'll be adding Nick Lamore, someone you know.
Oh yeah.
Nick is going to be giving a message online. So all these men who have contributed are enthusiastic, and they know what we're doing is to edify the church, help keep us together during this time of a crisis. And I have to tell you, Vic, I think it is working. I feel that it has been very good for the brethren to connect in this way. The comments that I have received from many of the brethren are overwhelmingly positive about being able to connect in this way using the technology available to us. It's been a real blessing.
Well, one thing I found that being at home, you know, and being connected with so many people, I'm actually busier than I've ever been.
I don't disagree.
There's less time for driving. I mean, I filled up my gas tank about 2-3 weeks ago. It is still on full.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
And
but
we can't take what those low gas prices.
Well, we certainly hope that this crisis ends. This is not a normal way to live. And certainly our thoughts and prayers are for the country and for the health of our people, and also for the economy, you know, for people losing jobs and trying to get reestablished, and what will this mean in the long term? You know, these are long-term things that we're thinking of, but we're taking it one day at a time. And that's, I feel like, one thing that people are learning, how to face each day, you know, and pray, give us this day our daily bread and deliver us from evil.
Exactly. Yeah, and what a meaningful feast this was, Victor, that we've been through with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover at home. And really, the meanings and lessons of this have been driven, I think, deeper into each one of us, because we're in a crisis and we're realizing, you know, what we see prophesied in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, these things are coming. We know that. But at the same time, it just stirs in us, I think, the need to hold on to our hope of what we know God is going to do. He's going to fix it. And all of these things that we're going through now and the tribulation that we know is coming, we have a wonderful hope and a vision for the future that really helps us to endure this crisis in a way that it makes us, I think, feel more purposeful about our calling. It was interesting, as I was talking to one of our ladies who is also in the medical field, she is a nurse, Mrs. Marie Auguste. She is a nurse working in the Boston system of hospitals, and she said something to me that really stuck, that she has seen people who have some understanding of God, of faith, not necessarily, not any of them actually in our church, but have some understanding of God and a relationship in some way, they have been dealing with this better than those who have nothing like that. She has noticed this in people who are, say, not given to think about God or consider God in their lives, not dealing with it as well, which really drives home the point of how wonderful a hope that we have. We know how this is going to end. In the end, God will be here on earth. We know that's coming, and he's going to fix the problems of this world now. But we're not worried about the trouble that's coming, because we have this great hope.
Right, and also I feel like it's not just for us alone, but those of us, you know, who are not only pastors, but, you know, writers and presenters and so forth, we have people that we are reaching that are more attentive, people who are more, we have their attention, and hopefully the message that we have of the kingdom of God is coming, it's time to prepare yourself. You know, you're only going to live so many days on this physical earth. If you want something beyond that, you better start listening very, very carefully to the message that God is giving us. And I have found that we've had better response. We've had, it's sharpened us in our preparation. It's done a lot of good things.
It has. People are going to be looking for answers, as you're seeing. The increase in response is there. You're seeing it. And where will they see the light of truth? Where will that be? And it will be in those who have the truth, those who have the light and the life of God in them.
More than just preaching at them, it's also showing a way of life, of caring, of how we talk among ourselves, but also how we relate to them. I know that going down the street and, you know, meeting people on a sidewalk coming our way, there's a very warm hello, how are you doing, that's very genuine. And it's just so good to see that.
Yeah, we're seeing some very good qualities of people come out at this time of crisis.
Well, I do believe that overall we're becoming stronger as a result of this.
Yes, I agree.
Well, listen, Andy, it's been great talking to you. It's just I have really thoroughly enjoyed doing this podcast with you. We're doing it on Skype. And I want to tell everybody that the reason we're doing this podcast is because Andy wrote in at podcast@ucg.org and said, hey, Vic, maybe we should do a podcast about how people are going through this coronavirus crisis and tell their stories. I thought, that's a great idea. So I got a hold of Andy and said, let's do one.
I appreciate you getting back to me. I felt like this is a story we could tell. Everybody has an experience that we've gone through, how we're adjusting to the new normal.
The new normal. So, be sure to write to us at podcast@ucg.org and give us some suggestions about what we could do in the future. And you can find us easily on the UCG website. On the main menu line, just click or tap on podcast. So thank you very much. We'd love to hear from you. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.